Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I'm here to help you lose weight without dieting. That means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. If you'd like to talk with me today, the call-in number is 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. Call me with any questions related to food, weight, body image, or anything that's weighing on you. So here's something that I noticed this week. A ton of people came in talking about how they felt really self-conscious. What about you? Are you self-conscious about being in public? Do you think people are judging your appearance? Do you think they're watching what you eat or thinking negative things about you? Here's the thing. We feel self-conscious when we think others are looking at us with critical eyes. And often, actually always, the way we see ourselves directly impacts our expectations of how other people will see us. If you think you're overweight, unattractive, stupid, or bad in some way, it's easy to imagine that other people are thinking those same things about you. So the good news is that the more you develop a positive view of yourself and experience yourself as likable, lovable, smart, interesting, kind, warm, and good, the more likely you are to imagine that other people will like you too. So one surefire method to stop feeling self-conscious is to be an observer instead of feeling under observation. When you focus on what you see, what you observe, you're not going to feel those eyes on you. So let me ask you something. What do you imagine other people are thinking about you? Because if you don't work for the psychic network, and I'm guessing you do not, chances are you are not actually able to read people's minds. And the critical, judgmental thoughts that you think other people are thinking about you are the same critical judgments that you have about yourself. So, quick example, I once treated a singer who had terrible stage fright. In fact, she didn't go on tour for some time because it was just too awful, too anxiety producing. She would imagine that the audience was looking at her, thinking that she was fat, thinking that she didn't sound as good in person as she did in a recording, thinking all kinds of really horrible things. And so, obviously, these thoughts about her were her own thoughts about herself, and she was very hard on herself, and really had a lot of terrible judgments, and was critical and mean and just awful to herself. When we changed the way that she related and responded to herself, and she cultivated a kind, compassionate, more loving stance with herself, not only did she lose weight because she was no longer eating to escape her own mean voice, but she felt less self-conscious. So she was able to go on tour. And she called me, from being on tour after a few states. So it had been some time. And she's like, Dr. Nina, I swear other people are coming to my show. Like, it's a whole new audience. Well, no, the same people were coming to see her, only previously she had projected her own mean, harsh, critical thoughts into the audience and back at her. And now that she had a more loving relationship to herself, a more accepting relationship to herself, she was projecting that accepting, a kind, interested perspective into the audience and back at herself. So your relationship to yourself has everything to do with how you feel in the world. So practice having your eyes on the world, eyes outward, instead of feeling like an object of scrutiny by others, which is their eyes on you. Because when you focus out, when you think about what you think about other people, about other situations, when you're reflecting on your own mind, your own observations, you're far less likely to have that sense of, you know, being under a microscope. You feel less self-conscious, you feel more at ease, and then you won't turn to food to cope, which is how you make peace with food. So let's say you know for sure, you absolutely know that someone has a negative opinion about you. Either they tell you or they show you in some way. It's not projection, it's not some fear, it's absolutely real. How do you stop letting other people's negative opinions control how you feel about yourself? Now, that's a question that Dr. Ashley Greer answers in her article for Huffington Post titled, "Stop Letting Other People's Opinions Control You." She makes a lot of points that I want to share with you. And first she says this, which a little bit duplicates what I was talking about earlier. She says, when you give too much credence to other people's opinions, you're basically telling your true self to F off. Dr. Ashley Greer is very straightforward. She tells it like it is. So she says, your self-esteem is tied to the yo-yo of what other people think of you. When other people approve of you and your decisions, hold that thought. I have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Brian from Chicago. We've spoken a few times.
Yes, Brian from Chicago. It's very good to hear from you again. How can I help you?
How's everything?
Oh, everything's just fine.
Well, once again, I was dipping into your show, which I always enjoy doing. And so I have a question. Just kind of around some of the themes that you've been discussing this morning or that you were just getting into, which is really, you're talking about, you know, kind of being hard on yourself, I guess. I'm not going to use the same verbiage as you because I'm not a psychoanalyst, but, you know, being hard on yourself and ways around that. And my question is, I definitely know that I'm really quite hard on myself. I always have been. But I've always used it as a way of motivating myself, you know, to kind of expect more from myself in everything I do, to not settle, to not be content with, you know, achieving a certain level, either whether it's physical or career or aspirational. And I recognize that it is me being hard on myself, but isn't that how a lot of people motivate themselves to do better? And if you're not hard on yourself, are you just essentially allowing yourself to kind of coast along? So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
That is a great question, Brian. So I have a couple of thoughts. One is, it seems to be that you think either you're being harsh and, you know, slave driving to yourself, or you're coasting. So why is it between being harsh and slave driving and coasting and being lazy? You didn't say lazy, but I kind of picked up on that's what you're talking about. Just sort of, content or at a standstill. Why isn't it that you're either motivating yourself with harshness or you're motivating yourself with compassion? And like, how do you motivate other people? Do you have kids? Do you work? Do people work for you?
Right. All of the above. And I definitely, I don't think I'm harsh, you know, with myself or with other people. I think it's more a question of just telling myself, okay, what you've done is fine, but it's not good enough. You can do better. And I don't know if that qualifies as harsh. I mean, I'm not like calling myself names on a daily basis or anything else any more than I would do that to someone else. But if there's a certain thing that's been achieved and it's like, okay, good, that's awesome, good for you, but you can do better, don't rest on your laurels, keep pushing. I'm not sure if I would consider that harsh, but I mean, is that where we cross the line into shaming?
Well,
where it's just like, hey, you're not good enough yet. I don't know if that's what we would call shaming.
Well, it certainly can create shame, but let me ask you something. You said you have kids. How old are your kids?
One is older, one is younger.
All right, what's the younger, how old is the younger one?
12.
Okay, boy or girl?
Girl.
Okay, so this 12-year-old daughter, let's say she's accomplishing something, and do you say to her, okay, that's fine, but you can do better? Don't rest on your laurels. You can do better. You can do better. I mean, that's okay what you did, but you can do better. Do you talk to her the way you talk to yourself?
I might. I mean, maybe not in a really stern voice, but to say, this is wonderful. Let's celebrate this. But at the same time, let's also make sure that we don't kind of stop here. We can always go for the next thing that we achieve. I think I would probably say something like that. I don't think I'd ever say it in a mean way. At least I hope not.
Well, I think that often we also motivate ourselves with that. What you just said was, you can do better. Like maybe you say things like, hey, I believe in you, or something along those lines. That's not harsh, but you have to be able to balance both what you've achieved and what you want to achieve, and not look at it like, hey, if I let go of the whip, then I'm just going to coast and do nothing. And then you're always trying to climb the ladder, but not appreciating the rung that you've already climbed to. So,
right. I know I'm definitely guilty of that, for sure.
So where did you learn to be hard on yourself? What are your ideas about
probably,
that?
Probably every coach or trainer I've ever been with.
Well, okay, but what about earlier? Like, what were the messages growing up about achievement?
Probably similar. You know, probably similar. Like, you know, this. You know, to the extent that ever there was like a good word, it was always followed by, you know, but, you know, don't stop here. You can do better. Keep going. Now, it's probably always been a fairly consistent message, and one I'm guessing like a lot of boys get.
Right. So, well, a lot of girls get it too. Like, oh, you got a 98 on your English test. Why didn't you get 100? That's something like that. Okay, so it sounds like you internalized that perspective, and that's what how you were treated or how you were responded to is the way that you motivate yourself. But you can also motivate yourself, you know, with encouragement, not fear. Because, hey, you can do better, you know, don't stop here, otherwise you're just going to rest on your laurels. That's motivating with fear, that you're just going to be lazy, versus motivating with encouragement, hey, let's feel good about this, and I know you can get to the next step. You're smart, you're good, you're driven, you're this, you're that. Encourage yourself instead of scaring yourself.
Okay, that makes sense. That's really just a change in the way in the way that we speak to ourselves and each other.
Right, because there's not a direct correlation. It's between being harsh and being lazy. It's being harsh or being encouraging.
Right. That's interesting. I like that. That gives me much to think about. I appreciate that.
Well, you're very welcome. So you can talk to your 12-year-old daughter with encouragement and practice on her, and then do that for yourself.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you calling. Call me back and let me know how you're doing. Okay. Bye. Bye. Well, he always has such good questions. Haven't heard from him for a while, but he always very thoughtful questions, as are all the questions of all my callers. If you would like to be a caller, give me a call, 818-602-4929. So I was talking about Dr. Ashley Greer's article, and she was talking about how when your self-esteem is tied to what other people think of you, you're constantly in this yo-yo. When they approve of you, you feel great. When they disapprove of you, you feel terrible. So you end up becoming a slave to what other people want. And then you're running around trying to please everyone with every decision and never really tuning in to your own needs. And this people-pleasing turns you into just squashing your own needs and desires. And when you are molding yourself to fit the idea of what other people think you should be, you stop being you. You stop showing your whole personality. You stop feeling like you can be yourself. And you stop trusting your own judgment because you start thinking other people know better. And then you really give yourself away. And this, she says, this cascades into essentially living a shell of a life. She said, when other people's opinions are more important than your own, you live life on their terms, not yours. And she says, you will never have what you truly want in life unless you learn to shut out other people's opinions until you stop caring about what they think and really tune into your desires, your voice, your truth. And then she offers some strategies for what to do and for how to put this into action. And her first strategy, I think you're going to find a little familiar because I was just talking about it in a different way. So she says, strategy one is to take responsibility. She said, 9 times out of 10, when you're worried about what other people think, it's a projection. You're projecting your own fears and your own internalized self-judgment onto other people. You're pinning on them what you yourself actually think, which is what happened with my singer and the audience, right? She thought she was fat. She thought she didn't sound as good in person as she did in the studio. She thought she didn't have enough charisma and presence and wasn't comfortable on stage. She thought all of this. So that's what she imagined the audience was thinking when she thought a different thought. When she felt comfortable, she imagined the audience was thinking good things about her. So when we take responsibility for letting go of other people's judgments, we empower ourselves to stop being harsh and judgmental with ourselves. Because ultimately, as you can see, they go hand in hand. She says when she left her job as a psychologist and became a coach, she feared what everyone would think. She thought they'd reject her career choice and think she was crazy. It turned out that was all in her head, and she got nothing but support and no comments. And she said she'll take silence any day over judgment. So what was really happening was she was judging herself for the shift from being a psychologist to being a coach. She felt guilty about leaving her role as a psychologist and moving towards what really, as she said, lit her up, made her feel passionate. And when she let go of all the fears about what other people would think, it all went away. Her second strategy is let go of embarrassment. So many of us stop ourselves from living our best lives because we fear embarrassment. We fear what other people might think of us if we wear that bikini but do not have a perfect body. Oh, by the way, you know how to get a perfect bikini body? You know, I'm going to tell you right now. You put a bikini on your body. There you go. That's how you have a perfect bikini body. So she goes on to say that we fear what other people might say or think if we wear the dress with the very low neckline. We wonder how other people will perceive us if we speak up in the PTA meeting. She says, stop. Right now. Stop it right now. Embarrassment is really no big deal. The only reason embarrassment feels terrible is because you project your feelings into other people. This projection thing is very pervasive, as you can tell. That's me talking, not her. So she says that a few months ago, she went into the grocery store and her card was declined at the register. We've all been there, right? Oh my gosh, it's so mortifying and embarrassing. Or it can be. Because she said she got all flustered. She was so embarrassed. She just like blushed and flushed and just felt horrible because she forgot she had recently made this big purchase on her card, and she was mortified that everyone in line thought that she'd maxed out her credit cards. But then she took a deep breath and she said to herself, F it. And she opened up her cell phone, made a payment online, and got on with her grocery store purchase. And she walked out, and she thought about what had just happened. She realized that a few years earlier, she probably would have just, like, left her groceries, abandoned her shopping cart, and walked out of the store in shame and not gone back for quite a while because she would have been so concerned with what people there thought about her. The embarrassment would have felt so consuming that she would basically have sabotaged her happiness, and by that she means she would not have awesome food to take home and not wasting time having to go to another store. This was her favorite store, apparently. She would have sabotaged herself because of what she imagined other people were thinking. But this time, she had a totally different experience. She ended up laughing and realizing that it wasn't any big deal. Who gives a crap what these other people think? Anyway, it was a totally liberating moment for her when she realized that what other people think should not dictate how you feel about yourself. She goes on to say, stop comparing. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Hey, you know, one of my favorite quotes is Theodore Roosevelt, and he says, comparison is the thief of joy. So true. When we compare ourselves to other people, it never goes well. It just never goes well. And if you do feel good in comparison to someone else, then maybe you feel bad for comparing yourself and feeling like you're better than they are, and then feeling guilty about that, and oh, what to do about the guilt. Oh, cookies. So as you could see, no matter what, comparison is bad. She says, stop looking at what everyone else is doing. Keep your eyes on your own paper. Seriously, everyone's journey is different. No one's life will look the same. Often when we get lost in worrying about what everyone else thinks, it's because we're existing in a state of perpetual comparison. We look at what everyone else is doing, and we think that unless we're doing something similar or the same or better, we've failed. And we're going to talk a little bit more about failure in a bit. But it's not true. When we drop the comparison and just hold ourselves accountable to meeting the goals we set up for ourselves, then we stop feeling like we're running a race on a treadmill that won't stop and is not even our treadmill half the time. It's someone else's treadmill. Seriously, exhausting. Comparison is something that will drive you nuts and make you feel bad about yourself. And it's entirely self-imposed torture. So she says, and I say, let that go. Stop comparing yourself to other people. Her next recommendation is to increase your sense of self-esteem and self-worth. Self-esteem is just that. It's the esteem you hold about yourself, your whole self, by the way. And it's only something that we can give to ourselves. That's why you may have heard the quote, happiness is an inside job, right? This is exactly what that means. If your happiness is predicated on other people thinking well of you, then you're only going to think well of yourself as long as other people think you're doing well. But if you, so which means that if they change their minds or if they don't agree with you, then your self-esteem plummets. But if you have a basic sense of self that is, it's just there, it's just your core value of you, then what other people think matters less and less and less, if at all. And you're not sort of, your self-esteem is not batted around by the winds of change. So back to Dr. Greer, she says, we can only grant ourselves self-esteem. Nobody else can give it to us. No one else can fill our cup with self-esteem. No one else can say, hey, here you go. Here's a big bag of self-worth. That is not how it works. It has to come from yourself. And here's the thing, when you value what other people think of you, it's because you're looking for someone else to to fill your cup. You're looking for someone else to give you self-esteem. So one of the most successful ways to stop caring so much about what other people think is to start feeling really, really great about yourself outside of what other people think of you. And by the way, when I talk about self-esteem and thinking well of yourself and all of that, the reaction I most commonly get is, oh no, that's arrogant, that's selfish, that's bad, that would make me like a bad person, I can't do that. No, it is not arrogant to feel good about yourself. It's just having self-esteem, not arrogance. So really try to differentiate that, because otherwise any modicum of good feeling you have about yourself feels arrogant and cringeworthy. And there's a big difference between being arrogant and having a positive, solid sense of self-esteem. So her next recommendation is set boundaries. So what do you do when you have people in your life who suck all the positive mojo right out of you? Just slurp it up. What do? You set boundaries. If people are tearing you down and making you feel like you're less than, like you're not good enough, tell them in some way, unless you can speak respectfully to me about this, whatever we're talking about, unless you can speak respectfully to me, then I'm exiting the conversation. It seriously can be as easy as that. Set boundaries with people who've been squashing you under their judgments and opinions, and it will instantly help you feel better about yourself, because you will feel empowered. You will feel empowered when you speak up for yourself. And maybe even respected by others, but even if they don't respect you, you will respect yourself. And that goes a long way towards building self-esteem. So over the holidays a few months ago, one of my patients went home for a week, which I think felt like a lifetime to her, because her parents are big-time food policers. She's in her 40s, but they still comment on everything she eats. So after the 10th time, her father said, do you think you should eat that? Aren't you trying to lose weight? She said, you know what? I'm not answering any more questions about what I'm eating. I'm not defending myself. I'm not explaining myself. And if you keep asking, I'm going to leave and cut this visit short. And her parents just sort of looked at her open-mouthed in shocked silence. And it, you know, turned out that they had a conversation about it. Turned out, like, somehow this was their way of being helpful, quote-unquote helpful. Being the food police is never helpful. It just ends up shaming people. But in their minds, they were being helpful. And until she set the boundary and said, you know, no more, I'm not doing this, because every time they asked the question, she felt shame. She felt guilty, like they caught her doing something wrong by eating some holiday whatever. So when she set the boundary with them, they were able to respect it and realize what they were doing to her. That they thought that they were being helpful, and she was able finally, by speaking up, to communicate that what they were doing was making her feel really bad about herself, which of course was then leading to eating more, and it was part of a vicious cycle. So not everyone is as receptive as her parents were ultimately, but she felt instantly better about herself before they had the subsequent conversation about you know how she felt about these food policing moments. She felt like empowered, and that's what you need, is a sense of empowerment when you set those boundaries. And remind yourself, whose life is it anyway? Ultimately, this is your life, not theirs. You're the one who will wake up at the end of your life and either feel like you've lived a life that was fulfilling and energizing and powerful and gratifying and satisfying, or or are you going to want to feel like you lived a life that you regretted? One of the biggest regrets of people who are dying is they say something along the lines of that they wish they'd had the courage to live a life true to themselves and not the life that others expected of them. So remember, the only person's opinion that really matters is your own. I am going to say that again. The only person's opinion that matters is your own. You're the one who has to be happy and satisfied with how you live your life. You're the one who's living your life. You're the one who gets to decide what's right for you or not right. And that leads her into her next recommendation. She calls it, make the decision. One of the key points about not caring about what other people think is to actually make the decision to stop caring. By making a decision, you're making a commitment to yourself and your happiness. You're making a commitment to living your life based on your wishes and what would make you feel happy, what would bring you happiness and contentment. You're making a commitment to yourself, and this is very powerful. She says, next recommendation, forget about failure. Now, failure is nothing to fear. She says, a lot of times we fear what other people think because we fear what they'll think if we fail. What will they think if I open my own business and then I'm not successful? What would my fellow entrepreneurs think if they knew I wasn't making money yet? What would they think if I tell them I'm going on a health kick? I'm not going to say weight loss diet because that's no good. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to be on this new health plan. What if I go on that and that they don't see results soon enough? You know, what are they going to think? I'm a failure. Look, we all fail. We all fail, but really there is no such thing as failure. There's just learning. In fact, last week, I think it was last week, recently, I was listening to NPR and they were talking about Steve Jobs, and they had an interview with him from, I think it was 1991, where he was talking about failure. And he said, you know, if you cannot be afraid to fail, essentially I'm paraphrasing that failure leads to learning opportunities, which leads to success. He said, if you're not prepared to fail, you shouldn't even try. So we have to think about failure not as you being a failure, but as failing to meet this goal, but learning something about it. Dr. Greer says she gained like 80 pounds when she was with her ex-fiance. She squashed who she was. She squashed her personality, her exuberance, her love of life, because she was told she was too much very frequently. If you guys recall, that's the message that I got as a child. Too much, too much, too much, too loud, too sensitive, too emotional, too much. And that became, for me, somehow feeling like there was too much of me physically. And that's the beginning of me trying to become less. If there was less of me physically, if I became smaller, maybe I would not be too much for other people. So I can very much relate to what she's saying. And she says that she settled on a lot of things in her life, but she does not see any of those things as failures. She sees them as opportunities for her to learn. They were opportunities for her to stop those patterns forever. She says, sometimes the universe gives us a push, so we take that lesson down deep and never forget it. She says she will never diminish herself in any way again because she knows her value, and her value is self-esteem. Her next point is to check in with your intuition. Intuition is that gut feeling, that gut instinct. What do you feel instinctively is right for you? What is your true path? What kind of person do you want to be? Tuning into your intuition is an essential piece of letting go of other people's opinions. We often do what other people tell us that, you know, should work because we want their approval, or we crave validation that somehow we're doing it right, right as in their way. But what's right for someone else may not be right for you. Your path is unique and different and special, as unique and different and special as you are. So checking in with your intuitive knowledge about who you are and what you really want is absolutely essential to letting go of other people's opinions. Because the thing is, you want to connect with your truth, not their truth, your truth. And those are her recommendations for how to feel good about your decisions, even when other people may not agree with you. So I want to add something. I want to add something that she said about failure. Let's talk a little bit about failure, the F word. In fact, there is a great podcast called The Other F Word. I was on it last year. I totally loved it. It's a fabulous podcast in which they talk about failure, the disappointments and challenges that people have faced on the road to success. Very important that you cannot really be successful without failing. So The Other F Word, check it out on iTunes. I think you'll like it. Anyway, the thing about failure is it's often tied to shame. Brian was asking me about shame earlier, and you know, shame is that there's something wrong with us, and shame is definitely tied to eating issues. So let's imagine two people. Let's call them Darren and Darcy. Darren and Darcy both put in a job application at some corporation, and neither of them get the job. Neither of them get hired. So Darcy's response is, "Oh, I'm so bummed I didn't get that job. Hopefully I'll get the next one. Maybe I need to just tweak my resume or something, but, you know, next time's the charm." And she starts applying for new positions. Darren, on the other hand, is absolutely depressed. And he says, "Oh my God, I'm a total failure because I didn't get that job. I am such a loser. I suck. I can't believe I didn't get that job. What's wrong with me?" So when Darren labels himself a loser and a failure, he feels shame. Shame has to do with our identity and our sense of self. And guess what? When you feel shame, you're more likely to eat for comfort or to escape the bad feeling. So remember, there is a huge difference between failing and being a failure. Failing references action. It has to do with what you're doing or what you're not doing. I didn't complete that task. I failed to complete it. Okay, maybe I'll do better next time. Being a failure has to do with you as a person. I failed to complete that task. There's something deeply wrong with me, and it's been exposed by me failing. I'm a failure. So when your definition of failure goes beyond the fact of failing to achieve a goal and takes on the meaning of being a failure as a person, that can feel unbearable. And also, it could be easier to fail at losing weight or being healthy than it is to feel terrible about yourself if you try really hard to do something audacious or scary and you don't meet your goal. So if fear of failure is keeping you stuck, then confront the idea that you're a failure if you fail. Learn to consider yourself a person who's tried and failed, not a failure as a person. And be sure to congratulate yourself for having the courage to tackle a difficult challenge. And remember, look, this is so important. If you're turning to food, or if you feel like you don't have any control when it comes to eating, there is always, always, always a reason. When you identify and work through those underlying emotions or conflicts that lead to whatever goes on with food, things will change for good. Yes, they really will, for good. Things will change for good. When you get that root out, right? If you're just plucking weeds, you get nowhere. And plucking weeds is going on a diet and focusing on food and just doing all of those things that are just very much on the surface. you can't get rid of a weed by pulling it from the surface up. You've got to get to the root, and that's what we want to do, is get to these roots. And since we're talking about F words, failure, I have another one for you. Yes, I know what you're thinking, but no, not that word, not that word. This is F as in fat. So how often do you feel fat? Daily, hourly, every waking minute? Well, keep this in mind. Fat is a substance, not a feeling. And I want to help you stop the fat talk. A little while ago, I was in this bar, you know, bar class, and this woman standing next to me was like totally making a face in the mirror, and she's like, oh, it's before the class started, and we're all sort of stretching and whatever. And she just looks in the mirror, and she just pulls this face, and she's like, oh, I'm so fat, I can't even stand looking at myself. And her friend standing on the other side of her, we're like, oh no, you look great. I'm the size of a planet. Well, both of these women were attractive from my perspective, but they made themselves like sound totally repulsive. So insulting, criticizing, and ridiculing your appearance or anyone else's is a kind of verbal bullying called body shaming. Fat shaming is bullying, whether you're doing it to someone else or when you're doing it to yourself. You're probably fat shaming and bullying yourself. And so not only is fat shaming bad for your self-esteem, it can also actually impact your weight, because when you make negative comments about your body, you can feel, because you're listening to yourself, and you can feel depressed, hopeless, frustrated, bad. And if you eat for comfort, fat shaming can actually make you gain weight, because again, you're turning to food just to get away from your own mean, critical voice. So I like to say that losing weight takes time, unfortunately, but you can drop the fat talk in no time. And I have four principles that I'm going to share with you to help you. So one is, I say, turn your inner mean girl into a bestie. Or for you guys out there, turn your inner, you know, mean coach into a positive coach. So you probably heard this saying by Marcia Hutchinson: if you talk to your body, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. Let me say that again. If you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. And again, that's a brilliant quote by a body image expert, Marcia Hutchinson, and she makes the very good point that we talk to ourselves in, a very critical, harsh way. And as an example, my patient, Cheryl, told me that she had ordered pasta recently at a business dinner, and then she instantly regretted it, and she said to herself, like, oh, I shouldn't be eating carbs. Like, what's wrong with me? I can't stand myself. Well, there's so much wrong with what she said, but I asked her to imagine if a friend got upset about ordering pasta and having carbs, what would Cheryl say? Would she say, oh my God, what's wrong with you? I can't stand you. You should not be eating carbs. And Cheryl looked horrified, and she said, oh my God, I'd never say that. I mean, that's so mean. I would never say that. Yet she had no problem being mean to herself. So the next time you criticize yourself for what you eat or weigh, think about what you'd say to someone in a similar situation. So in Cheryl's case, what she would say to her friend, and therefore to herself, is, hey, ordering pasta is not actually a crime. I won't gain weight from one meal. I'll do better tomorrow. And besides, who says that I shouldn't eat carbs? Into every life, some carbs must fall. We need carbs. So when she turned her inner critic into a friend, she responded differently to herself and was able to lose weight and keep it off, because she really changed the way she felt and responded to herself, which means she no longer used food to escape. So keep in mind, if you wouldn't say something to a person you care about, don't say it to yourself. Okay, my second principle is, practice self-acceptance. Here's another quote that I love from Instagram. It says, "You are not fat. You have fat. You also have fingernails. You are not fingernails." Don't you love that? I love that. You are not fat. You have fat. You also have fingernails. You are not fingernails. Ha! So when it comes to self-acceptance, what self do you think of first? The one in the mirror? Because you got to keep in mind, you are more than a number and more than a size. So think about what you like about your mind and personality, as well as your body, your humor, intelligence, warmth, and more. Identify, embrace, and nurture those qualities because they are what make you the unique, likable, and lovable person you are. When you stop being at war with your body and start accepting your whole self, it is a lot easier to make healthy choices. Okay, my third thing is look at what's weighing on you. So it's not what you're eating that's the problem, it's what's eating at you. Imagine what you would be thinking about if you were not being negative towards your body. If you couldn't body shame or fat shame yourself, what would be on your mind? Could be a lot of things. Job security, money issues, finding the right partner, relationship concerns, family issues, parenting problems, so many things. Fat shaming distracts you from what's worrying you. Instead of focusing on what you weigh or what you're eating, attend to what is weighing on you. That's the root I was just talking about a little while ago. And my last thing is break up with the scale. You cannot measure your value on a bathroom scale. So remember the last time that stepping on a scale ruined your whole day. No piece of metal and plastic should have that much power over your life. Our weight naturally fluctuates, so don't let your self-esteem fluctuate with your weight. Get rid of that scale for good. Throw it out. Better yet, smash it with a hammer before you toss it in the trash. That can be very satisfying. You can watch me do exactly that in my YouTube series, The Dr. Nina Show, Lose Weight Without Dieting. There's a smash the scale video from a few years ago in which I just pound the hell out of a bathroom scale. And it was so satisfying. And then I threw it out. I threw that sucker out. I have not weighed myself, I can't even tell you, maybe 20 years. I have just refused to step on the scale. And when I go to the doctor's office, by the way, I say, oh, I don't do the scale. You don't need to know my weight. And they don't. So you take your power back. If you don't want to get on the scale even backwards, if you just do not want to be weighed or measured in that way, just don't do it. And if they give you a hard time, find a doctor who won't give you a hard time. You will be amazed at how much freer and better you feel when you stop weighing yourself and when you stop letting the number on the scale dictate how you feel about yourself. So as you can see, hating your body does not lead to changing your body. The key to permanent weight loss, the key to stop losing control with food, the key to stop binging is to change your mindset. And those four strategies that I just gave you will help you spend less time counting calories, fat grams, and carbs, and more time, here's the important part, more time living the life you love. Because ultimately, as I was saying before, reading Dr. Ashley Greer's article, you know, the only way you're going to live a life you love is when you're living your life, being true to yourself, and honoring what you know to be true, and being willing to learn from mistakes and not be perfect, and allow the grand messiness of life to take you on a fabulous journey. That is really the only way to live your own life. So that's our show for today. Thanks for joining me today on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting. If you can, if you want to listen to the show live, listen to it then. You can also listen to it later on iTunes. Just look up The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on iTunes. And if you like the show, please remember to leave me a rating or a review. Those are really super helpful, and I will be very grateful for you to do that, because the more ratings and reviews we get, the more people I reach and hopefully help. So be good to yourself, be curious, not critical of yourself this week, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.